next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." This was the feeding of the 5,000. "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do the work God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe in you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." But Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." Now, this passage that we see here is a passage which has been used by people down through the ages in what you might call sacramental discourse. I'll try and tease out what that means. In other words, what they're saying is that when we come to communion, this is when this passage really kicks in. And when we come to communion, we understand fully what communion means and what the taking of the bread entails. My response back to that is context, context, context. Do not take out of context simply to try and prove a point what the passage is truly trying to say. try and just tease out what is happening in this discourse between Jesus and the people who are around and the people who are questioning Jesus, and then see the bigger picture that Jesus unfolds for us. The first thing we see is that a crowd of people had been with Jesus and he had miraculously fed those 5,000 people. And that teaching of Jesus on that occasion and what they witnessed through the feeding of those 5,000 made a profound impression upon them. And so they go and look for him again. They want to find out more about him. And they search for him until eventually they find him. So there is a real kind of searching going on here. And if you think about it, what these people are doing is they're saying, forget about our work for a wee while. Forget about all the things that we normally do in our daily lives. There is something about this man that means that we have to give time to find out more. Think about it. What they're saying is, I mean, if you went to your boss and said, right, I've just encountered this guy, Jesus, and I want 4 or 5 days off because I want to go way out and find out more about him. And that's what they were doing. They were taking time out of their normal schedule to find out more about Jesus. But what they were also doing was they were wanting him to give him their credentials to them that would indicate that he is someone unique and special that Israel had been longing for. And so they approach him and they say to him, give us a sign. Now that is incredible, isn't it? They've just had a sign. They've just seen this great miracle taking place in their midst. But give us a sign. And so Jesus then starts to enter into metaphor with them. And Jesus says to them, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. So he takes them up a scale and says, you've been impressed with what you've seen about the food, but what I'm saying to you is there's another food that is much more enduring than simply what was into your stomach. This is one that lasts forever. But they don't get it. They don't quite get it. And so they say to him, we want you to give us a sign, a miracle, similar to the sign and miracle that Moses experienced when the children of Israel were in the desert. Now, do you remember the story of how the children of Israel go into the desert and they are miraculously cared for by God, and where there is a provision of manna, which is a bread-like substance that was provided for the children of Israel so that they would not starve in the wilderness? And it's this that they allude to, because Jesus is talking about bread. They therefore move on to talk about this miraculous bread. And Jesus comes around and says, what the people got was physical bread. What I've got to give you is much better than that. For what I've got to give you is something that will eternally endure. My Father gives you true bread from heaven. And then people say, Sir, always give us this bread. And they've still not got it. They've still not got it. Then Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Let's bring that passage up, that sentence up. First of all, Jesus uses the word I am. And there is an indication there that takes us back to Exodus. where Moses stands before the burning bush and eventually has this conversation with God, and God declares himself to be the great I Am. "Who is it I'm speaking to?" says Moses. "I am," says God. He is the self-existing, eternal, ever-present God. And then Jesus uses the word the. "I am not a bread of life, a way to God. I am the bread of life. There is no one else can give you what I can give you," says Jesus. "No one." And his bread is the bread of life. It is a life-giving, life-sustaining bread. It is something that gives us an inner life that is different from all others. And so Jesus goes on to explain it to them. This is what he says: "Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Now notice that he uses those two concepts: comes to me, believes in me. And they are the same thing. And here's where we have got to be very, very certain about our faith. Because our faith has got to be one that is personally rooted in us coming to and believing in Jesus Christ. Not that our parents did it. Not that we went to Sunday school. Not that we've been nurtured in the church. But that there is a personal, clear-cut faith that we have exercised, that we have come to and personally believed in Jesus Christ for ourselves. And then there is just this wonderful passage in verse 37. Wonderful in what it says. "Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." Now there you see is a wonderful affirmation by Jesus. Because sometimes some people do not really believe that Jesus Christ would work them. Or they believe that there is something that's an impediment in their life that would prevent Jesus Christ from wanting them or for them coming to Christ. And there is just the word of God himself through Jesus Christ saying, "Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." Isn't that wonderful? "Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." It doesn't matter who the person is. It doesn't matter what the person has done. It doesn't matter that person's life is an utter mess. Jesus is saying, if you come to me, then I'll never push you away. If you come to me, you're welcome. You'll be received with gladness by me. And then just this other wonderful affirmation: "I shall lose none of those." And there you see is the wonderful truth that governs the heart of the Christian assurance. The wonderful truth that governs the heart of Christian assurance is this: that it is impossible for anyone who comes to Jesus Christ ever to be lost. Once his, always his. Once safe with him, always safe with him. And that's the wonderful truth that governs our lives, because you know, and I know, that sometimes we wander away and sometimes we become very distracted by the things of this world. And sometimes we're not very clever in our discipleship. And sometimes we're downright disobedient. And sometimes we get it so pitifully wrong. And yet Jesus says, once you come to me, you're in a safe place forever. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Isn't that just the most incredible reality that governs the Christian faith? And then he moves it again, and he wants to keep on using kind of different ways of describing the same thing. He then says, for everyone who looks to the Son and believes, they shall have eternal life. And that's it. Again, Jesus building kind of truth upon truth, the same truth, but being looked at from a different perspective. What is it happens when a person comes to Jesus and believes in Jesus Christ? What is it happens when a whole group of people like ourselves come together and believe in Jesus Christ? We already have eternal life. Because you see, eternal life isn't about getting to heaven and being in heaven. Eternal life is having the life of God in us and with us just now. To know God is to have now eternal life. And so there's the next building block, if you like, in what Jesus is trying to say to us. You come to me, I will never turn you away. You come to me, you're safe with me. You come to me, and you have already eternal life. And none of that can be lost. Then again he says something else. And then I will raise them up at the last day. I will raise them up at the last day. He says that twice in that passage. And he says it twice in that passage as if to emphasize to us something that we find difficult to grasp. Because we tend to see everything from this perspective. And we don't see the greater vista. And Jesus is saying, I want you to trust me in this. That although you're looking from a human perspective, from where I'm standing, I'm telling you that I will raise you up at the last day to eternal life. And it's that vista that's difficult, isn't it? And remember, and I think I've used this illustration before, so please forgive me for using it again. I remember standing at the north of Lewis in Port of Ness on this beautiful beach that overlooked the Minch. Now, if you look the other way, you would see the Atlantic, and the Atlantic, you just didn't have anything until you got to Iceland or to the United States. If you were looking from the Atlantic side of the North of Lewis. But on a beautiful day, on a clear day, you could see the Sutherland Mountains and the Sutherland coast so clear that you could reach out almost and touch it. And there are days when our assurance as Christians and our vision of reality is like that. It's clear to us. Well, my goodness, there were some days when the sea was rough and you couldn't see outside the harbour. And there were some days when the mist came down and it was Guy Dreef in the north of Lewis, and he were many indeed, even in the summer, and you couldn't see clearly. But the one thing that was true is this: no matter what I was looking at, the Sutherland Mountains had not moved. They were always there. And it's the same when it comes to this truth that is proclaimed see things clearly. There are times when we do not grasp things as clearly as we should. But there is an assurance that comes from God Himself through Jesus Christ and says to us, it is there because I can see it. And I'm asking you, even in the difficult days, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. For I will raise you up on the last day. He is the bread of life. He is the one who has come down to give us bread and life that is enduring. He is the one who has come to give us the strength to live the Christian life day by day. He is the one who calls us to come to Himself every day, to trust in Him every day, to put our faith in Him every day. He is the one who assures us that even on our bad days, if we come to Him, He will never, ever, ever turn us away, because He has us in His hand and in His heart and in His purposes, and we are the possessors of eternal life, and that's never going to change, and we are on a journey that will be magnificent beyond us.